Well, the Lord is good, right? His mercy endures forever. As my friend in Kenya says, God is good all the times. And all the times, God is good. Amen. Hallelujah. If you have your Bible, I want you to turn over to 3 John for just a moment. 3 John, all the students know this as Little John, number 3. I tell this story when I was I would never, ever say I was a youth pastor, okay? But I did work with youth, because why? I was young. That's how that works, you know, sometimes in the church you find the youngest person. Anyway, I worked right out of course, my 2 years at Rhema, I told everybody I would never be a youth pastor. Never, 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 never. Well, that came true, but I did work with the youth. I was the leader of the youth group for 3 years right out of Rhema. And we were having our lesson one night and at youth group, and I said, turn over to 1 John, and they all had their Bibles. It was a good group. They'd bring in their Bibles, their notebooks, and one of the students says, is that Big John or Little John? To him, the gospel was Big John, and so this is Little John. But John, 3 John, and then, you know, there's only one chapter, but verse 2, beloved, I wish, and I've got a note in my Bible next to the word wish. It says pray, that the original should be pray, above all things, that you may prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. I want to talk tonight about soul health. Soul health. Now, our soul, of course, it sometimes soul means our inner being, but I want to talk about soul tonight in the area of our mind, our thinking, our emotions, and then, of course, our once that the soul also is where the will is resident. And but I want to talk about some characteristics tonight. First of all, and I've got enough notes, it's probably going to end up being more than, I'm not going to get all these through all these tonight. But I want to talk about some characteristics that, you know, if you had these symptoms, per se, in your body, you'd be believing God for healing. You might even be going to the doctor. So what if you had these symptoms in your soul? You had these things going on. It's time for a checkup. It's time to look at some things, because these are symptoms of a soul that is not prosperous, but we could call it poverty-stricken. How's that sound? That's not a good thing, right? How many of you know poverty is not of God? It's part of the curse. God's redeemed us from the curse. Well, in this sense, our soul needs to prosper, all right? Well, one of the characteristics, and this first woman I want to look at, is a lack of knowledge of the Word of God will cause you to not be prosperous in your soul. Let's go back in the Old Testament at Hosea chapter 4. Now, how many know there's no condemnation in Christ, right? But I would submit to you, if you really don't know where Hosea is and how to find it in your Bible, you might be dealing with a little lack of knowledge concerning the Word of God. Now, we've all been there, right? You know, I grew up in church, when we went through confirmation class in our church, you got a Bible, and it was a Revised Standard. Our church loved the Revised Standard Bible. You got a Bible and a box of offering envelopes. You know, which if I had any money, I probably put, but I didn't. You know, I'm 12 years old, didn't have any money to put in there. But I was an official member of the church now, and. But I had a Bible, but I remember when in June 30th, 1980, this June 30th this year will be 46 years when I got saved and filled with the Spirit of God, and it's been the best thing ever in life, you know, to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. How many of you can testify to that? You know, you say, well, 46 years, Lord. I did have somebody tell me the other day when I told them how old they were, they said, you're that old? I said, how old do you think I am? Well, I thought you were more my parents' age. And I said, well, how old are they? 40? I said, I like that. I'm living young. How about you? Anybody out there living young with me? Praise the Lord. But I remember buying those those, you could tape them in your Bible, the different, you know, where the Bible books were, and you had to try to figure, because in some translations, one, you'd have one on one page, one on the other, and where did I put it, you know, and all that stuff. But happened to, you know, I'd find books in the Bible by the index, you know, go in the front, you know. I mean, you know, I heard Jesse Duplantis talking one time about how he preached out of the book of Concordance. Some of you will get that later. But here in Hosea chapter 4, look at what it says in verse 6. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because you have rejected knowledge, I will reject you, that you shall not be no more a priest to me, seeing you have forgotten the law of your God. I will forget your children. But notice, let's center up on that first part. My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. Destroyed there, made desolate. Lack of knowledge of the Word of God. So one of the things, if we're going to have a prosperous soul, if our mind is going to be prosperous, if our thinking processes are going to be prosperous, if our emotions are going to be a benefit to us and not a hindrance, we have to have a knowledge of the Word of God. And so, you know, we always, and remember, it's not, I heard that one time, it's hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing. It's constantly, constantly. You know, in the Old Testament, the kind of the idea is, remember, how many remember when God, children of Israel got hungry, you know, and God fed them with manna, and they had to go out every day and get the manna, except for the sixth day, then they got double portion, because that would last them all through the Sabbath. But they had to gather it every day. And that's the kind of the idea of the manna being the Word of God. It's something that we need to do every day. Not, don't live on stale bread. I've had fresh bread, I've had stale bread. Fresh is better. Right? Well, don't live on stale. The Word doesn't get stale, but it gets stale in our thinking. And it's not active. And, you know, sometimes we have to catch ourselves and get a hold of ourselves. I like to think, you know, I think of it sometimes, I have to have that talk with the carnal trinity, me, myself, and I. Get a hold of myself. You can be, hey, no, you don't. You know, you get sometimes, if you're not careful, where you say, well, I've heard that before. So, you know, pastor's preaching, somebody up here in the pulpit's preaching, or you're listening to something, and, you know, and you know, you say, I've heard that. You don't even turn to it in your Bible. You don't look it up on your device. You know, yeah. But when the Word of God just becomes commonplace to you, you're in position to have a poverty-stricken soul. So the Word of God, what's your word level? Check up on yourself. This isn't something. Now, again, as we go through these things, these are not tools to use against other people. Well, your problem is, no. That's not, these are self-checkup things. What's my word level? Second one, let's go to Romans chapter 8. Turn over there. If we're being controlled by the desires of our flesh rather than the desires of the Lord and of our spirit man, we need to check up on ourselves. We say, well, how do I know if I'm being controlled by the desires of my flesh? Well, How you doing in dealing with authority, whether you're in it or submitting to it? How you dealing with it? How are you dealing with sexual temptation? Yeah, I said it in church. Sexual temptation. How you doing with that? Okay. How you doing with your, you know, and all of us probably in this area, how we doing with our diet? Amen. Now, I will say this. Some of the most unhealthy people in the world are skinny folks that can eat anything they want and don't ever gain any weight. That don't mean you're healthy. So don't look at me in that tone of voice. But how are we doing in these areas? Romans 8, verse 5 says, for they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. I'm reminded of what the Apostle Paul told the Ephesians and us, the saints and the faithful in Christ Jesus, in Ephesians chapter 2, that we used to be governed by the lust of our flesh and of our mind. He says everybody everybody used to be that way. Well, and lust there doesn't necessarily, when you hear the word lust, it means strong desire, and the way it's used in the Bible usually means that it has to do with wrong desire. But what are we? How are we dealing with this? Are we allowing our flesh, you know, carnally minded, in other words, instead of being spiritually minded, being led by our spirit, being sensitive to things of the spirit? How do I know if I'm sensitive to things of the spirit? Well, I'm going to say whatever the word says, that's what I'm going to do. Go there. You know, Brother Hagin tried to help us all when he would talk about what's the word say about it. What's the word say about it? That's the answer to your question. What's the word say about it? Amen. And that goes back to number one, but here in this, are we being controlled by the desires of our flesh? And how are we doing in that area? All right, the third one I want to look at is being weak or indecisive and choosing things that are contrary to the will of God. How are you doing with your choices? Let's look over at Luke chapter 10. Now, sometimes, you know, how many of you have heard this statement? Good doesn't always mean God. In other words, a good thing doesn't necessarily mean it's a God thing. Now, what might be good for you in your life and your whatever God's called you to do, it's good and it's God. But that even it's for me, it's still good, but it's not God's will for me. You understand what I'm saying here? And so how are we doing when we're making choices? Are we choosing things because we just want to do it? Are we choosing something because we want to be like somebody else? Or are we choosing that part that is good because it's something that's of God, and whatever is of God is going to last. Look what Jesus said to Martha here in Luke chapter 10, verse 42, just that last verse. You know, here's the story. Jesus is at their house. Martha's busy trying to put a meal together. I think it's interesting where this account comes. Jesus has already fed multitudes by this time. I'm sure Martha and Mary and Lazarus had already heard about it. And so here she's got this gathering in her house. She's concerned about a meal. This is a guy that fed multitudes with 5 loaves and 2 fishes, and she's worried about getting a meal on the table. All right? You know, how many of you know everybody eating after the preaching's over? That's a good thing. But it wasn't the God thing at the moment. Okay? And when our soul isn't prosperous, when our thinking's out of line, when our emotions get caught up, we start making decisions that are not godly decisions. Now, he said to her in verse 42, he said, "One thing is needful, and Mary has chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her." Her sister Mary sat there and listened to what Jesus had to say. We got time to do all that other stuff afterwards. You see, and again, here's Jesus who had fed multitudes by this time. I mean, not that we would ever impose on him, or not that we would ever, you know, put it off on him to be responsible for that or to God. Sometimes, you know, sometimes we're asking God to do what we're supposed to do. Amen. You know, well, God, you know, make me do this. No. God's not going to make, if God could make us do stuff, how many know he'd make everybody except Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior? Amen? You know, sometimes I wish I could pray, God, make these people think like me. But then that'd be dangerous. Whew. We just need one of me. All right? So being weak or indecisive, choosing things contrary to the will of God. You know, around here, this is, you know, this ministry, this church is unique in that people flow through here in the will of God. They arrive here in the will of God, and then they leave here in the will of God. But it's important that you know it's the will of God. Amen? And I think, you know, when we're prosperous in our soul, we don't get, are you familiar with the term antsy? In other words, you don't get nervous, don't get, you know, where, oh, I've got to do it if I do it. You know, I'd rather be two steps behind God and then a half step in front. But my soul has to prosper. You know, people who are, the Bible talks about how people, there's false teachers who get in there, they'll get themselves in and they'll prey on weak-minded people. Amen. And you know, not everybody that has a microphone on in a is preaching the Word of God. I'm just going to tell you that. I mean, it's interesting. You have to have some discernment, but you know, there's people that have learned how to work on weak-minded, or in other words, poverty-stricken soul people, work on them financially and get big offerings out of them. Boy, why me get into that? But it's true. It's true. You know, I've been in services. Thank God, not here. But I've been in services where they say, well, if you want the supernatural debt reduction power of God to work in your life, you got to bring an offering right now, and you got to bring it. And it's got to be at least this amount of money, and da da da. And if you don't do it now, you're going to miss out. Like God is tomorrow is going to be out of the ability to prosper me. But see, if I've got a healthy soul, then you're not going to be able to bend and twist my emotions and get me all emotionally caught up in something. You're not going to get me in my thinking, because I know God more than that. See, when I know the Word of God, I know that's not God. Amen. God's given me the supernatural debt reduction ability, and if you don't give to me, you're not going to get it. Well, is that right? Well, bless your heart. And guess who's out of debt? Well, they are, because everybody's giving them their money. That's the supernatural part of it, I guess. But it's the wrong super. Amen. I'm not taking it back. All right. Number four. This is especially in our thought life. Being undisciplined and fantasizing about ungodly things. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. You doing all right? Praise the Lord. See, I originally planned on finishing up my three-part sermon that became a two-part sermon tonight on the subject of God has always been a healer and having some healing take place. But I finished that sermon Sunday night. And God told me to do this tonight. Amen. So I just decided I better obey God. I'll go away from here blessed, whether you are or not. I'm going to tell you right now. I'm going to go away and say, thank God I did what I was supposed to do. All right? But look what it says, 2 Corinthians 10:5, casting down imaginations. Here again, a note in my Bible says reasonings. And every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Casting down imaginations. Casting them down. You know, that's why Jesus said some things. You go through there in the Beatitudes, and he would say, you've heard it's been said this, but then he doubled down on it almost. He'd say, but I say unto you that if you look after a woman with lust in your heart, you've committed it already. Where are we, guys, in our thinking? Amen. Where are we? See, I don't want to have a poverty-stricken soul. I've got to control my thought life. Now, the great thing about it, if he tells us to do it, then we have the ability, and he'll supply the ability and the knowledge of how to do that for ourselves. He wouldn't tell us to do something there that is impossible for us to do. But we know when God tells us to do something, he's there to help us do it. He won't do our part. But you know, like the psalmist said, he said, you know, put a watch on my tongue. In other words, prompt me, catch what I'm saying here. Because sometimes, how many of you know you just say stuff you don't hear yourself? The psalmist prayed and he asked God, God, show me what I'm saying. We need to be this. God, show me what I'm thinking. Now, you know, one of the things with this is with this undisciplined and fantasizing on ungodly things is if you're watching ungodly things on television or reading about ungodly things on social media or watching ungodly reels on social media and all that, then you're not going to... You're working against yourself. You can't bring those thoughts into captivity because you keep feeding them. You keep stacking them one on top of the other. Amen. All right, moving right along. Glory to God. This is one here that we need to catch ourselves on and guard. Go back to Romans chapter 12. There's you're looking in your Bible. And that is this. A soul, a mind, and our emotions that are out of control, that are not prospering. You know, he said, remember what John said, I pray that you would prosper and be in health even as your soul prospers. You can see these things. When our soul is not prospering, it starts affecting us in every area of life. It starts breaking down. Your body starts breaking down. Your different things start happening to you, and you don't know why. Well, God, why did God let this happen? Because God gave us the authority over what happens and over our own thought life. But this one here, the we'll read it here in a second, but refusing to change and only seeking to prove yourself right or defending yourself. You know, and this can happen fast. Look how fast it happened to Adam in Genesis chapter 3. God said, what have you done, Adam? Now, did God already know what he did? Absolutely. He knew he was going to do it for the foundation of the world. Now, I'm like you. I'm kind of might be like, I want to ask God that question. Okay, God, if you knew they were going to do it, why did you? You know, but that's one of those questions right now that just genders strife. So stay away from it. But he knew it. He comes down. He says, what have you done? And Adam started right off. The woman you gave me. Notice, he starts defending himself right off the bat. Notice the result of sin. Now, I haven't said it, but you realize that sin is a... Living and committing acts of sin is a sure proof of a poverty-stricken soul. Right? Romans 12:2 says, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove as that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. See, don't let this world conform you. Don't because the world wants to change us, but we're to be transformed, totally transformed by the renewing of our mind. Well, along with that renewing of your mind, your emotions need to be renewed also. They need to be sanctified. They need to be brought into line so that we can live out the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Change. Change is part of the Christian life. Listen, the Christian life is a radical lifestyle compared to what the world's doing. It's radical. The world doesn't understand it. Jesus said, I'm going to tell you right now, they hated me, they're going to hate you. We ought not be surprised. But it's kind of amazing how surprised Christians get that the world hates them. That should be a good sign to you that you're living a Christian life. Amen? Now, they hate you until they need you. That's why we just keep walking in love. right? Because you know, eventually, everybody's going to need help sometime. You know, they may talk about you. They may, you know, laugh about you. They may joke about you that you believe in that God heals people today, and until they're sick, and then they make that private contact. You know what I'm saying? Hey, I know you believe in this stuff. You know, would you, you know? Amen. That's all right. It's all right. Jesus, you know, when you read through the Gospels, Jesus didn't, he would ask, sometimes he asked, do you believe I'm able to do this? You know, it was interesting, a blind person came to him, he said, what do you want? I've always thought that was interesting. You know, that I might receive my sight. He said, well, according to your faith, be it done unto you. But you know, even in multitudes, you don't see Jesus didn't, as they came up, you know, as he was ministering to people, and you know, sometimes he laid hands on them all, sometimes they touched his garment, other times, you know, he spoke the word, and by his word he cast out devils, he healed them by speaking his word, whatever, you know, he's doing whatever God told him to do. And there's no record that he ever asked anybody, now, have you ever talked bad about me before? No, he just went ahead and healed him. Amen. I mean, it's amazing. I know here a few years ago, we started doing on trips that I was leading and taking people on different missions trips here from Raymond and some other things, but taking people and started really branching out and doing some going out in the street. You call it street ministry, but just a lot of it going from business to business, from seeing people on the street, going from house to house, and just not preaching Jesus to them, but asking them, is there anybody in here that has a need? Anybody in pain? Anybody sick? Is there anything we can pray for you about? And here several years ago, we had some, I say several, within the last, so it was after COVID, so we were outside of Nairobi, a little bit further east of Nairobi, and we were working with Victor and Eunice Mwangi, who are Rhema graduates from here, but they're Kenyans, and they pastor there in Ruiru, and outside of Nairobi, the capital. And we were there with their church and doing meetings in the church, but then they were out on the streets and witnessing to people. And they got into one business, and they started talking to them, and there were some people in there that were sick, and they just told him, well, Jesus will heal you. Can we just lay our hands on you in the name of Jesus? And they laid hands on him in the name of Jesus, and they were instantly healed. And they said, well, is there any? And they started, you know, they thought they were in a business, but behind the business, I guess there was, they just started bringing people out from back where they couldn't see. Come to find out, everybody in that business was a Muslim, and Jesus, God healed them. And then they ask him about, well, didn't God just prove to you that Jesus is the Messiah? Well, yeah, and they all got saved. And that kind of stuff happening over and over and over and over again. God's good, I'm telling you. God is so good. Amen. Don't be conformed to this world. Don't let the world mold you and talk you out of the things of God. Any of you ever had a squishy ball? That's what I call them. You know that ball? When you squeeze it, what happens? That ball conforms to the pressure you put on it. But when you let go of it, it goes back to being a ball, you know. But Play-Doh, you can transform Play-Doh. Or clay, right? You can transform that. You can change it. Well, that's God. We're the clay pot. We need to let God's word transform us. And the way we do that is by renewing our mind. Okay, here's another one that we need to, these are symptoms of that we need to watch out for in our own life. And that is being more concerned with things of this earth than the things of heaven. The things of God. Let's go to Colossians chapter 3. I used to hear people say, Well, you know, don't be so heavenly minded, you're no earthly good. Ha, 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 ha. It's impossible to be heavenly minded and not be earthly good. If I'm heavenly minded, then I'm gonna be about God's business here on the earth. If I'm heavenly minded, that's why heavenly minded means I'm doing the things that that God wants me to do, that the Father wants me to do. Here in Colossians 3, verse 2, set your affection or your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. So I'm supposed to be heavenly minded. You're supposed to be minding the things of God more than any other thing. And sometimes, how many of you know it's easy to forget that? You got bills staring you in the face. You got this going on. You've heard the rumors. They're laying people off at the job. They're doing this or that. And if you're not careful, your mind will take you to the deepest, darkest place it can, you know. How many of you have ever had a shooting pain go through your body, and before you know it, you're planning your funeral? I'm telling you, it can happen fast. Well, I hope they sing this. What difference? What do you care? You won't be there. But you know what I'm saying? But when I'm heavenly minded, that's the same thing we could say, being spiritually minded. Set your mind and your affections, your passion on things above. Jesus said, I must be about my Father's business. How many of you know we got business to do? We got heavenly business to do here on the earth. Now, what can we say? For every one of us, what's the overreaching? We could describe everything of heavenly business by saying this: we ought to love people. That covers everything. But there's specifics within that for each and every one of us. All right? Now, here's another one. This is a good one. Allowing my emotional feelings to decide how I act instead of God's word. James chapter 2, let's turn over there. Allowing my emotions. How many of you know, I don't know why this came up, but I just had this thought. It didn't come out in my head, but down here. How many of you know the Bible says, don't be unequally yoked together with unbelievers, right? That's good for all you single folks. Now, you married folks can't decide, well, I'm unequally yoked, that's not your out. 1 Peter chapter 3 tells a wife what to do if her husband's not walking according to the word of God. And then, of course, Ephesians 5 tells the husband to love the wife as Christ loved the church. There wasn't any of us right when Jesus loved us. Amen. So, you know, there's no excuse. But you know people. Don't raise your hand if it's you, but you know other people, right? It's always other people. You know people that are with that. I know ladies that are with some dude, you know, dating some guy, and they're just emotionally involved, and there's no, from the outside, you look at it like, do they know how ungodly that person is? And folks, listen, there's no such thing, why me get off on you? There's no such thing as evangelistic dating. That's like, you're standing up here on the platform, and you know, I don't care. My oldest grandson's 7 years old. If he was down there, and probably if he's down there and I'm up here, if I tried to pull him, he's probably pulling me off here before I pull him up. And that happens so many times. You get people get pulled into the abyss. Sin. Well, first of all, whoever told you you could change anybody? I feel like David. I'm going to have to go encourage myself here, you know, because, amen. Don't allow our emotions. James 2, 22 says, see how that faith is faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect. What's he saying there? Stay with God's word. Act on God's word. Let let faith have corresponding action. Don't allow your emotions decide how you act. Don't let your emotions make decisions for you. Let God's word. And then finally, the last one, let's end with this quickly, and if I get an opportunity to pick this up, we'll pick up here. But Philippians 4:8, if my mind is continually worrying, bound by fear, and this is a big one, having a negative thought about everything, you know, I feel so sorry for some people. Every time, you know, no matter what's said to them, they come back with a negative response. This is the day that the Lord has made. Yeah, but it sure is raining out there. See, I'm telling you, that's a poverty-stricken soul. Philippians 4:8 says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. And boy, we could camp right there in that verse for a long, long time. But let me ask you, I'm asking me, Tad, is that how you're doing things? Is that how you're thinking? Does your thinking line up with that? Are you making sure that you stay with that and not allowing other things to worry or fear or negative thinking in? Well, this is how you stop that. Think on things that are true. Well, automatically I can see that I could probably sum that up with whatsoever things are from the Word of God, think on those things. Right? Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, the second half of this are characteristics of a prosperous soul. But we don't have time for that tonight. Amen. Because this is hour of power, or as Brother Tony used to say, at least an hour of power. But I'm not Pastor Hagin, so I'm going to give you this hour of power. All right? He's the only one that can take minutes. I can't. Would you all stand up, please? Amen. Let's thank God for His word tonight. Father, thank you for your word. Father, thank you that the Holy Spirit will help us, teach us, guide us, lead us into all the truth. Bring things to our remembrance. Father, help us to see and examine ourselves according to your word. Father, not to be so introspective that we put ourselves down, but to see things honestly so that we might have a prosperous soul and that we could be in health, Father. Father, we give you all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' mighty name. Our prayer team's coming down right now. If you need prayer for anything, men come to the men, ladies to the ladies. Hallelujah. I don't know if there's probably not a song that goes with that, is there, Dan? Dan said, I don't know any of the songs. I mean, Pastor Rob, would you write a song about that, please? Praise the Lord. Amen. Come pray with these folks. They are going to pray with you according to the Word of God, because that's where answers come from. Ladies, don't forget, sign up out in the East. Is that right? East Lobby for the ladies' conference. And then I know basketball camp coming up, all those different things. Get you a bulletin and love on somebody before you leave. Let them know that you love them in the Lord. Amen. God bless you. Have a great rest of this week.